Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Dikshita Brahma Satrena.
Dikshita Brahma Satrena.
Sarva Bhutatma Medhasa.
Sarva Bhutatma Medhasa.
Pratityam di Shivelayam
Siddho
Bhudyatra
Jajali.
Translation. The Prachetas went to the seashore in the west where the great liberated sage Jajali was residing. After perfecting the spiritual knowledge by which one becomes equal toward all living entities, the Prachetas became perfect in Krishna consciousness. Please repeat. The Prachetas went to the seashore in the west.
The Prachetas went to the seashore in the west.
Where the great liberated sage Jajali was residing.
The great liberated sage Jajali was residing.
After perfecting the spiritual knowledge,
by which one becomes equal
toward all living entities, the Prachetas
became perfect
in Krishna consciousness.
Purport.
The word Brahma Satra means cultivation of spiritual knowledge. Actually, both the Vedas and severe austerities are known as Brahma. Vedas tattvam tapo Brahma. Brahma also means the absolute truth. One has to cultivate knowledge of the absolute truth by pursuing studies in the Vedas and undergoing severe austerities and penances. The Prachetas properly executed this function and consequently became equal to all other living entities. As Bhagavad Gita 18:54 confirms, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasochati Nakankshati Samasarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. When one actually becomes spiritually advanced, he does not see the difference between one living entity and another. This platform is attained by determination. When perfect knowledge is expanded, one ceases to see the outward covering of the living entity. He sees rather the spirit soul within the body. Thus, he does not make distinctions between a human being and an animal, a learned brahmana and a chandala. Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmane Gavi Hastini Shunichaiva Svapake Cha Pandita Samadarshina. The humble sage, by virtue of true knowledge, sees with equal vision a learned and gentle brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog-eater, outcast. Bhagavad Gita 5:18. A learned person sees everyone equally on a spiritual basis. An alerted person, a devotee, wants to see everyone developed in Krishna consciousness. The place where the Prachetas were residing was perfect for executing spiritual activities, for it is indicated that the great sage Jajali attained mukti, liberation there. One desiring perfection or liberation should associate with a person who is already liberated. This is called sadhu sangha, associating with a perfect devotee. Dikshita brahmasatrena sarvabhutatma medasa pratityam dishivelayam siddho buddhyatra jajali. The Pajetas went to the seashore in the west, where the great liberated sage Jajali was residing. After perfecting the spiritual knowledge by which one becomes equal towards all living entities, the Pajetas became perfect in Krishna consciousness. Do anyone know anything about Jajali? Anyone can enlighten us? So, he was a self-realized soul. That is the purpose of going to a holy place, to associate with self-realized souls. Advanced devotees of the Lord, by their association, one can also attain attraction for Krishna. It is not advised to go to the holy place simply for taking bath in the Ganges or Jamuna. Many persons, they have that idea that they can perform materialistic activities, then go to the holy place and take bath and offload their sinful activities, and then go back and perform more materialistic activities. But this is actually offensive and is burdening the holy place with one's sinful reactions. Fortunately, the great devotees, they come to those holy places, and it is said that they even purify the places of pilgrimage by their presence. Because by their engagement in devotional service, by their hearing and chanting, those sinful reactions which have been offloaded by others, they are purified, eradicated. So in this way, the holy place is also capable of purifying, but it attains added potency by the presence of saintly devotees of the Lord. Just like, say, Sridham Mayapur, it's a holy place, but the added potency is given by the devotees in the temples who are engaged in Sankirtan, especially in ISKCON temple. Enthusiasm for the devotees for devotional service. So that makes that holy place so much more appealing and attractive. And one who goes there and gets the association of the devotees, then he's much more likely to make advancement in spiritual life than someone who just goes there and takes a bath in the Ganges. It is said actually in the first canto, in the beginning, first chapter, that just a moment's association with a pure devotee can elevate one to the highest platform of spiritual life, whereas the waters of the Ganges can purify only after prolonged use. Repeatedly, one has to take bath, and gradually, there's some kind of cleansing of the heart. But as soon as one comes in contact with a pure devotee of the Lord, whether in a holy place or not in a holy place, one's consciousness can be changed. In fact, the holy persons, saintly persons, they are themselves compared to holy places. The Vidura was addressed by Yudhisthira Maharaj. He said that saints like you are like places of pilgrimage. And in that verse also he says, and they can even purify the holy places. But they're like places of pilgrimage, because a place of pilgrimage, that is the place of the Lord's pastimes, and by going there one is reminded of the Lord. So by coming in contact with the pure devotee of the Lord, because he's absorbed in thinking of Krishna and glorifying Krishna, he's absorbed in remembering the pastimes of the Lord. Therefore one gets that benefit in his association, because he reminds us of Krishna by his every thought, word and deed. So the Prachetas, they were intelligent persons. They had taken instruction from Narad Muni. They performed austerities, and later, that is prior to householder life, then they entered householder life, and after householder life, they again went to a place where they could have association of a saintly person and practiced their Krishna consciousness with full determination to attain perfection. So it's described here that the spiritual knowledge they acquired made them see all living entities equally. Some verses are quoted here. Some verse from Bhagavad Gita. How the humble sage, by virtue of true knowledge, sees with equal vision a learned and gentle Brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater. So that means that he sees them all as spirit soul. He sees them all as part and parcel of Krishna. And he doesn't discriminate against someone because he happens to have some lower kind of body. But rather he thinks that this is spirit soul, how to elevate him to Krishna consciousness. But it doesn't mean that you know, he doesn't see the difference between a dog's body and a Brahmin's body, you know. Like a Brahmin, one would wash his lotus feet, and isn't it? But it's not that he's going to be washing the dog's lotus feet. The Brahmin will offer, you know, worship. It's not that he'll invite the dog into the temple to you know, perform arjik or something like that. Or an elephant to come into the temple. No. He can still see the external difference there, but he knows that that is just external. It's just a dress, and the person is actually part and parcel of Krishna, and he should be serving Krishna. So he engages those according to those different persons according to their body. He engages them in Krishna's service. Elephant, he can engage in Krishna's service, isn't he? Elephants, they're used in temples, just like Sridham Mayapur. They're using the elephant once a week. They're going around the grounds carrying Radha Madhav, little Radha Madhav. They carry on the elephant head. The pujaris are there with their, you know, peacock fans. And all the Gurukul boys are there with their conches and their, you know, gongs and drums, etc. A very nice procession, Harinam Sankirtan going on. This is a traditional in the temples of India, specifically southern India. Especially in Guruvayur, you can see this is where they actually got this idea of elephant procession from Guruvayur. And there are elephants there who are very great devotees in Guruvayur. In fact, there's one famous elephant, Keshava is his name. You know how he was very devoted to the Lord, and he would always take prasad of the Lord. And when he was coming near, there are many stories, pastimes connected with this particular elephant. And when he was at the point of leaving his body, you know, he came there to the temple. He came into the temple, and he lay down in front of the Lord in the temple, and he left his body like that. Very nice story. cow also, of course, mother cow is a very devoted servant of Krishna. So the devotee will engage cows in giving milk for the pleasure of Krishna, for making nice preparation. Milk sweets, sandesh, isn't it? Rasgulla, rasmalai, dahi, kheer, sweet rice, burfi, all these things, they can be made in Krishna's service. In this way, the cow is serving Krishna. And, of course, a brahmana, he can engage in worship of the Lord. And the dog eater, dog and dog eater, they are a little more lower position. But still, dog can be guard outside the grounds of the temple. There are also many dogs engaged in the service of the Lord, just like in New Govardhan, the Hari Rama. He was always coming there to the temple, and standing outside at Mangal Arati, always taking prasadam. So he was a faithful dog. He used to patrol around the grounds. Or that dog that was with Shivananda Sen going to Puri. And Shivananda was taking great care of him, feeding him prasadam. In fact, once they were crossing a river and Shivananda had to pay extra to take that dog, but he wanted to bring that dog to Puri. And then suddenly the dog disappeared and he was in anxiety and he was fasting. Shivananda was fasting for days because he was feeling that he hadn't looked after the dog properly. But when he reached Puri, the dog was seated beside Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was feeding him prasadam. And after some time, that dog attained liberation. So he's also a devotee, great devotee. And a dog eater, that is, of course, not a recommended activity for a devotee, eating dogs. That is a low position. Not all countries they eat dogs, but some countries they eat dogs. In Korea, I believe, China. That's why in China not many dogs are there, they say. Who's been to China? Anybody? Nobody. They say that no dogs around in the street because they're all eaten. But even those dog eaters, they can become purified. They can become devotees. If they give up their dog eating habits, they'll have to give it up. But after all, so many persons were performing so many degraded activities. If they weren't eating dogs, they were eating hogs. Isn't it? In New Zealand, they're hog eaters. Isn't it? Sausage, bacon, this is all hog. So hog is a stool eater. The hog is known as a stool eater. So a person is eating hog, so indirectly he's eating stool. This is really abominable. So we have to give up this hog eating, dog eating, and eating other creatures that are not recommended for the human being to eat. Rather, you become a prasadam eater. The devotees are prasad eaters, prasad respecters, rather. It's not simply eating. When we say the prayer, Sayanamrita Pau, we don't say Sayanamrita Kau, or we shouldn't say. Kau means just eating. But Pau is a more respectful word. It means we are receiving it, and we respect receiving. Like Sayanamrita Pau, Radha Krishna Gunagao. So, in that way, a devotee, he should be a humble servant of the Lord and cultivate that ability to treat everyone as part and parcel of Krishna. So, seeing with equal vision doesn't mean that he deals the same exactly with each person, as I'm describing. Different species, one may be dealing different, but even, say, with other devotees, one will not deal in the same way. Rupa Goswami has explained how we should treat different devotees differently according to their particular position in Krishna consciousness. Those who are more advanced, one should offer them respectful obeisances, one should hear from them and serve them. Those who are on an equal level, one should associate with them. One should also offer obeisances, respectful obeisances to them. And they in turn offer obeisances like that. There's some mutual exchanging, just like when Krishna came to see the Pandavas, he offered obeisances to Yudhisthira because Yudhisthira was, you know, technically senior, and he embraced Arjuna and he gave his blessings to Nakula and Sahadeva. They
they offered their obeisances to him. So like that, there are different kinds of dealings. So with a devotee who is a junior or less advanced, one should give good guidance to him and show a good example to him. And those persons who are very kanishta, who are very materialistic devotees, one should simply be respectful, but one shouldn't associate closely with them. That is advised, that a person who is not properly situated in devotional service, one shouldn't take his association very closely because of his material attachments. That may be a contaminating influence or a disturbing influence in one's spiritual life. Therefore, one should seek out the association of devotees who are on an equal level or even more advanced level as far as possible, so that one can get benefit from their determination and association. And this was the case with the Prachetas. They sought out such a great devotee sage, and in his association they engaged in devotional service to the Lord. This is called, Prabhupada says, sadhu sangha, associating with a perfect devotee. So this is the process for advancement. That is also delineated by Rupa Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. First Shraddha, first we must have some initial faith that this process, there's something in it, it works. You know, there must be some kind of initial faith which attracts us to come and associate with the devotees. So sadhu sangha, association of the devotees, especially one should seek out the association of advanced devotees, seek out a spiritual master, and under his guidance, render service to Krishna. So this sadhu sangha. So under his guidance, one is performing bhajana kriya, activities, bhajana of worship and glorification, worship and glorification of the Lord, devotional service, which is in the beginning anishta, unsteady, which is characterized by different kinds of weaknesses in the character and activities of the neophyte, sometimes becoming enthusiastic, sometimes becoming morose, isn't it? Sometimes work very hard and sometimes sleeping in, losing attraction. Sometimes thinking he knows everything, just getting little knowledge and becoming very proud that he knows everything, that he's very advanced. It's just like a child gets to school, 5 years old, and thinks he knows everything. Sometimes. Then another unsteadiness, weakness, is sometimes taking vows that, you know, I'll chant 32 rounds every day, then not able to follow. Fluctuation. Or deciding to become very renounced, you know, and then not able to do it. Like someone says, oscillating in his mind like that. Should I give up everything and, you know, go away in the renounced order of life? Or should I stay home with my family and practice Krishna consciousness and become very advanced? So in that way, oscillating, sometimes you think, yes, I'll do one thing, and another time, no, I'll do another thing, like that. I'm not very focused or steady in spiritual life. And another kind of unsteadiness is enjoying the benefits of devotional service. By devotional service, one is getting perhaps respect or some donations and contributions. But if one is utilizing that position for his own sense gratification, self-aggrandizement, name, fame, you see, prestige, then this is also a sign of spiritual weakness. Whatever we get, name, fame, wealth, we must use it to glorify Krishna, not for our own enjoyment. So in that way, different kinds of unsteadiness or weakness, and these are caused by anartas, by impurities in the heart, impurities which are categorized as offenses, reactions of previous sinful activities, and the desire for material enjoyment, whether pious or impious. So these anartas, they are like weeds in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya describing how devotional service is like a creeper, bhakti lata bij, the seed is planted in the heart for the spiritual master. The devotee has to water that seed by hearing, chanting, serving the Lord. But in the process of watering, other weeds may grow up around the main creeper. So a devotee has to pluck out those weeds. He has to learn to recognize them. And by getting strength from the association of serious devotees, then he can understand how to pluck out those weeds and protect the creeper. And in fact, it is recommended that just like a creeper is protected by fencing it around your young plants, you see young plants and trees, you put some small fencing so that the animals won't come and eat. So in the same way, one has to protect a creeper of bhakti by fencing of association of devotees, association of serious devotees. So by that association, see, one gains strength and he can remove those unwanted things. Just like we see, people are coming, some person's coming and living here with the devotees, chanting Hare Krishna. So gradually they're making spiritual advancement because they're able to give up bad habits, get rid of these unwanted thoughts and desires and weeds, purify the consciousness, and they become spiritually advanced. So like that, one has to come to the stage called anartha nivritti, giving up of unwanted material habits and purifying the consciousness. The result of that is the person becomes nishta. He's still performing bhajana kriya, devotional service, but it is nishta. It's steady, it's focused. So that focusing or that fixing of the mind on Krishna, not only the mind, the fixing of the consciousness in Krishna is on three levels: mind, words, and body. Usually, first one could get the bodily activities fixed in Krishna consciousness by working for Krishna. Just like someone comes here, we'll ask him to clean the pots or clean the floor or do some work for Krishna. So in that way, he can gradually become steadily engaged in some working for Krishna. And then gradually, as he becomes purified and he chants Hare Krishna, then tongue also, the words become dedicated to Krishna. He stops talking all rubbish talk and starts talking about devotional service, about Krishna, and he learns how to speak with devotees in a civilized manner, in a Krishna conscious manner. And then by going on in that way, the mind becomes more and more focused on Krishna. The mind is, of course, difficult to control, and sometimes we see even devotees who are practicing Krishna consciousness having difficulty with the mind. And isn't it? Sitting in a perplexed way, unable to act even very nicely because of the, you know, bewilderment of the mind. So the mind, it has to be actually beaten. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur recommends beating the mind with a shoe, beating it with a stick, of course, literally. Difficult to do, but that means he means by chanting the holy names, beating the mind into shape, or focusing it on Krishna by constant chanting of the holy names of the Lord, the whole consciousness becomes purified. So it may appear to be repetitious, but we need to repeatedly, you know, beat the mind down, because it is just like a dog, a mind. Always jumping out of control, isn't it? So So just like the dog the master beats the dog like that to train the dog. So the mind, same way. Similar kind of beating. And after a long time, it gradually becomes, you know, more and more disciplined, more and more focused on Krishna. So this is nishtha, attaining steadiness. And once a person is steady in that way all the time, every thought, every word and every deed fixed on Krishna, so then he's getting higher taste, ruchi. He's experiencing real enthusiasm in his devotional activities. Vishwanath Chakravarti, he mentions actually that sometimes that in chanting, he says that one's taste for the chanting may be a little dependent on some factors like melodious chanting, for example. But he said the more one gains taste for the holy name, the less he becomes dependent on such externals, and he just likes the nectar of the chanting. And in fact, it's said that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he would sometimes purposely sing a little out of tune, just to show that it's not just dependent on some melodies. In Bengal, of course, especially they have these nam yagyas and they sing these melodies, ragas. They sing Hare Krishna mantra to these ragas, and sometimes it takes them like 1 or 2 minutes to chant one mantra Hare Krishna, because in every word they're singing so many, whole melody for each word. So like that, you can hardly even make out sometimes that they're singing the Hare Krishna mantra. Once in 76 in Mayapur, they invited some of these groups. The devotees thought they would organize a kirtan competition, so they invited all these groups to come and sing, and they were on the stage there, and they were doing their performance, and this was going on for several days. And devotees asked Prabhupada, what did he think of the chanting, their chanting, and he said they're simply chanting money, money, money. See, they're chanting Hare Krishna, but their inner meditation is, I'll just get money, or I'll win the prize and get money like that. So that kind of chanting, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he didn't appreciate that kind of chanting, these kind of professional groups and this kind of very intricate musical arrangements. They are playing with violins and these horn type things and all kinds of instruments. So he rather preferred them to chant very simply. So that's why he would sometimes purposely chant out of tune. Of course, it is not that we have to do like that. We can have some, bhajan group chanting Hare Krishna, as long as we don't become too attached, to whatever, playing a bongos or strumming guitar like that, and showing ourselves to be accomplished musicians. This is a secondary factor, whether we can play expertly or not. Anyhow, the point is to be attached to the holy name. And when one develops genuine taste, then he's not dependent on these external factors, but his attachment in all cases to the holy name is, his taste for the holy name is very strong. So that brings a firm attachment to Krishna, asakti. And as a result of that, one is always thinking of Krishna in every circumstance and never forgets Krishna. He's completely attached to Krishna. So the result is bhava. He attains love of God and prema. He becomes completely ecstatic in that love of God. So these are the different stages of devotional service. And one has to execute these different practices under the guidance of the pure devotees of the Lord. And in this way, one's consciousness will become purer and purer and purer and purer. Like that. Actually, once Prabhupada said, and it's written in Upadeshamrita, that anyone who is chanting 16 rounds and following the four principles and preaching Krishna consciousness, then he is a pure devotee. He is a pure devotee. But one may become a purer and purer and purer devotee. And the great acharyas, they are the purest devotees. So, and the associates of Krishna, they are the purest devotees. So in this way, one should traverse this path back to Godhead. As soon as one is taken up this regular principles and chanting 16 rounds, he's already reached a very high level of purification compared with the majority of persons in the world. He's already a very determined personality and very exceptional personality. But still the devotee always feels himself to be impure, fallen. That is the internal mood of the devotee, not that he's thinking, now I'm a pure devotee. And because if one becomes proud like that, then very quickly he can fall down. So the devotee always remains, therefore, in a humble position, thinking himself lowly. That is described of the Uttamadhikari. He sees everyone as servant of Krishna except himself. He feels himself fallen, but he sees how everyone is connected with Krishna, how ultimately everyone is working under the direction of the Lord, according to the arrangement and dictation of the Lord. So in this way he can see everyone's connection with Krishna, but he's not proud of himself. Although he is actually very dear to Krishna,